Welcome, and you're listening to a Queued Up Media production of Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Pancake family of podcasts. And now,
shut up and sit down.
Hey, it's Derek, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through our queue, into our gaming systems, and ride the hype train from the past and into the future. Let's introduce our crew for tonight's cast. First up, we have Mr. Damian Nash.
What's up, everybody? Looking forward to the podcast. Take two. What's going on, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm still in that alleyway, hiding from that Mac, because that Mac, he still killed my mommy, and I'm still sad about it. I just don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
I'm good, guys. What's going on?
At least that Mac can send messages properly without losing them in the freaking internet sphere that my Android does. But I digress.
Internet. He said internet.
What's up, Chris?
That's awesome. What's going on? Super excited. There's a crap ton to talk about today. We didn't think there was going to be, and then all of a sudden, this list just filled up like and blew up.
I know.
Yeah.
I was looking, I was like, man, it's going to be a short episode. How, what are we going to talk about? And then we all start putting our stuff we want to talk about in the show notes, and then boom. So much.
There's Star Wars stuff to talk about soon. I'm excited again. Star Wars is back. There's lots of Star Wars news.
I mean, we even got some Star Wars news in this episode.
Yes. Yes. There'll be more tomorrow and on Saturday.
Definitely.
So pretty excited.
Excellent.
All right, so we're going to head into our queue. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. So we're in our queue. In our queue for us here at Geekologist Radio is the stuff that we're watching right now or things that we've seen as of this week. So I think we're going to start off with Damian, you finally saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
I did, and I might get a little hate on this. It's not, you know, I'm losing my Care Bear with this one.
Okay, if so, you remember, you know, when this movie came out, we all said the same thing, that it was not Harry Potter.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, it wasn't, and that's the thing, is it, as a standalone film, I feel it's gonna, it was all right. Special effects, amazing. Mm-hmm. I was entertained. Out of a score of 1 to 10, I would only give it a 6.7.
Wow, that's
but
high.
That's
and very specific, too, with that 0.7.
Yes.
It's because I tried to do... I actually did a math. I have a calculator.
Did you say 0.7?
Yeah. And did you say a 6.7. Math? Did you do a math?
A math?
I have an app. I have an app that
what?
I can...
Tip
I can
the scales between 0.5 and 0.7 for you.
Just the simple fact that because I wasn't ready, you know, but mainly because I was not ready for Johnny Depp I knew he was going to appear, but I thought it was just the back of the head. I did not, and I like the entire time I was watching, I'm like, you know, Colin Farrell and Johnny Depp's character both had the same haircut. And I'm like, And then at the end, when it displayed and how things changed, I was like, okay, that actually caught me off guard. I'm entertained for what the next ones will bring. Now, J.K. Rowling did a really good job in taking a textbook and creating a film. She did do well in that. I do like the fact, and I think it's actually necessary, that, yeah, it was cool that they showed American wizards and how they call things, but I am glad that the next iteration goes back to, like, Hogwarts, and Dumbledore is a big force in the next one. I think it's needed. To make it feel Harry Potter.
Yeah, for...
This is all part of the Potterverse. But there has been so many more stories that are on her actual... on Pottermore, her website, that I wish would have been put into a short film, series, or a movie more so than this. Derek?
Yeah, for me, the location of this film didn't affect its quality whatsoever for me. It was nice to do it, and I think moving it back is not necessarily going to make it better, because to me, the second half of the movie's plot was incoherent. Not incoherent. I knew what was going on. I just didn't know why all the stuff was going on. It didn't make sense.
It was a bad version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
however, you know, we saw The Flash.
You know what it didn't have? A lot of fantastical beasts. Like, it was just, it was very lackluster when it came to the beast part. Like, I think that it could have done a much better job with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they were in his case. I mean, right. Yeah. You found them.
They could have showcased a lot
in more. In the case. It would have been nice, maybe a movie prior to this, doing him finding all, capturing all the beasts, and call that one Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, because that is actually Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This one, he's already found the beasts. They're in his case. Why is that in the title? This title doesn't make any sense because he's found them already. We know that. They're in his case.
Well, it was the title because of the name of the book.
It just means for her to jump into a new trilogy.
The title just could have been My Suitcase is Where You Find Them.
Exactly. Exactly. Movie over. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. In My Suitcase. Done. Now let's have a movie about something completely different.
So we talked about Johnny Depp being in Fantastic Beasts. He was also in Sweeney Todd.
A long time ago.
I know. And this... Yeah, it is, but it's like one of my favorite films, and it's back on Netflix, and it came up, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna watch this. It is Sweeney Todd, the Butcher of Baker Street, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
It's a full title, but it was just a film that because here's the thing: if you go back, and this is going way back with Johnny Depp stuff. If you're going back to like I'm talking Crybaby, was a great musical film. However. He never, even though he was the star of it, he did not actually sing. He lip-synced everything. In Sweeney Todd, they were like, hey, can you actually... Yep.
Who did Johnny Depp play in Fantastic Beasts?
The main wizard. The big bad. Right. He was the big bad that they captured at the end.
Grindelwald?
Last second.
Yeah, yep. Grindelwald.
Yeah, it was a switch.
Which actually is going to play into the point where... Where I see them going with that actually is them actually going into Voldemort. That's where, you know, because Voldemort basically, it's almost the Star Wars apprentice and all that stuff kind of thing going on. But back onto the other with Sweeney Todd was that Sweeney Todd was actually the first time Johnny Depp has ever, like, you know, he hasn't done Broadway, he hasn't done any of that stuff. So when he did that film, that was his first time singing. And it's all him. However, yeah, does Captain Jack Sparrow come out a little bit in his nuance actions and stuff in it? It does. But I just really, if you haven't seen Sweeney Todd, don't watch it with children because it is a gore fest. It is a complete gore fest. But if you like Broadway musicals and things like that, it is really well done. And it's just something that shows another feather in the cap for Johnny Depp and his acting.
Yeah, ability. And to exact your point about kids and seeing it, I mean, kids and their like of Sweeney Todd or dislike or not necessarily needing to go see Sweeney Todd was the pivotal plot element of the Kevin Smith movie Jersey Girl. Because the Jersey Girl herself picks the play Sweeney, picks a song from Sweeney Todd to perform in her school musical. And when they actually do perform it, the jaws of all the parents drop. So... Yeah, just talking about the adultness of it.
That is a good reference. I totally forgot about that, and that's just a little throwback to Ben Affleck right there.
Yes, yeah. And that was during his crappy movie time when he was still dating J Lo, and that was the chaos time.
That's like Jiggly.
yeah, we'll go with Jiggly. But I think that this is the next one is probably the first one in our queue that is not a movie. Our TV show, but it's a podcast, S-Town. It's from the makers of Serial. This podcast already has 16 million listens, and it's only been out 2 weeks. It's 7 episodes, and it's a very... If you've listened to any of the Serial podcasts before, it takes a very similar tone to it and a similar deep investigative take. But it's not under, it's just a sub brand of Serial, and you understand why in a second. It's a guy who's investigating a murder, and then he ends up finding another death through this process, and a lot of it needs to be revealed from listening the 7 episodes. But S-Town is S is really the derogatory term S here, and they use it a lot in the episode. So for branding, it's S Town, but in the episode, it is Pooh Town. So,
Pooh Town. Dookie Town.
But yeah, it was really good.
Hashtag cucka.
I was gone 3 days for a trip and really liked it. And the real reason I don't think it was not branded 100% Serial Season 3 was because the other two seasons had they had better endings. This one, I think the ending was far less satisfactory than the other ones, but it was still extremely entertaining all the way through.
Oh, the whole thing's out already?
Correct. The entire thing's out. There's no more episodes.
Okay. How many episodes?
Seven. You can Netflix it right through. Burn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially driving around. Like I couldn't, like when we got back, we still had one episode left. So as I was driving around, I finished it up shortly thereafter. I had to finish it up.
On your recommendation last week, Cajun, I tried to watch Archie's final project and I just, it was too difficult. Like I sat, my wife fell asleep. I'm like, all right. So I was still trying, you know, the 13 Reasons. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'll put this in. And it was on Netflix. So you can get it on Netflix for, you know, free, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right. So I find My Suicide and it just was so off the wall. I think I got maybe 20 minutes in. I'm like, this is not my cup of tea. I got to switch this thing up.
Yeah.
It was weird. But I tell you what I did switch over to, and I think I posted this in the Discord, is I've been watching Cosplay Melee, which is pretty awesome. Like, it has to do – it's basically like they give you a set of parameters. Like, one of the episodes was Game of Thrones. Another episode was a video game. So there was Overwatch, there was Mass Effect, and there was – I can't remember what else it was. But you have to do like a headpiece, and then you have to create a character, and they're making these cosplay items within like a certain period of time. It's pretty badass. Like I was actually really impressed with some of the costumes by the time they're done.
It's about the same people who do Face Off and did Heroes of Cosplay and Nerdgasm. It's all that same group of people that go around that stuff. It's actually pretty cool. I've been meaning to get into it as soon as I saw that it was by the same makers of that show. But yeah, no, it's as soon as you brought it up, I was thumbs up on that.
And you can see where some of the stuff comes from. So like when you're watching cosplayers, I mean, coming to from a couple of packs, like seeing some of the stuff that people make, some of it's really, really intricate. And they show you exactly how they do it and what they have to burn. And like you'll see some of these pieces and you'll think to yourself, how the hell is that going to turn into wood when it's just like plastic? And then by the time they're finished up and spray painting it, it looks exactly like, you know, what they said it's going to look like, which is pretty cool. So just a side note, I've been watching that. I finished up all four episodes. Thought it was pretty interesting.
Nice.
A Dremel tool is your best friend when it comes to cosplay.
For sure.
Now, of the big network shows, Better Call Saul just hit us back with episode one. Any of y'all follow that one or were Breaking Bad fans previously?
Breaking Bad fan, but I stopped watching Better Call Saul after the tail end of season one.
Okay. Anybody else?
I've been meaning to get into it, but it's low on my my queue list.
See, for me, I thoroughly enjoy it because it's the one entertaining attorney show that I've found on television in the last couple of years. Mainly because they take a really the same Breaking Bad spin of creative ways to solve problems that Breaking Bad did. Like this season one starter answered a couple of questions that were outlaying at the end of last season. What was going to happen with the tape? How was Chuck going to use the tape he had? And who was tracking Mike? Well, how Chuck is ending up using the tape is extremely creative because he couldn't directly use it in a court of law, it looks like. And whoever's tracking Mike, that was super creative. And then back how Mike kind of tracks him. So leaving that to the people who watch it, and I don't want to spoil those two things because those are the three big spoilers, because in terms of plot, not much happened because those were tying up the two loose ends from last year. And I think they really set the next two major plot elements going in some pretty fun and unique ways. And just when Mike did the counter tracking, I actually stopped it and asked my wife, like, did you just catch what he just did? And she's like, I have no clue what he did. And I was like, go to watch that again in detail by detail. It broke it down. It was absolutely brilliant. So Vince Gilligan has amazing brilliance on how he does that stuff. So liked it. Good stuff. I'm excited about this season and ready to move on into what we're playing on our gaming systems. Game.
There's some seriously good stuff that's coming out. Netflix has Girl Boss, which is supposed to be really, really good. As far as the series, and then, obviously, do we all watch Silicon Valley or not?
Now we do.
Now we do. I've just finished, or I'm 3 episodes from finishing the first season.
Okay. And then there's the Adam Sandler deal on Netflix, which is going to be out here really soon. And then obviously we're watching that. What's that? What's the other one? American.
Whoa. Obviously we're watching an Adam Sandler movie.
No, not Adam Sandler movie. The one on Netflix where he's where he plays the. Yeah, Andy Wexler.
Yeah, but that's no obvious there.
Oh no, I thought Andy Wexler on Netflix was a big deal. Like I thought
it's a big deal. No, it's yeah.
No, it's that's Netflix. Yeah. And then the American, what the hell's the other one? The one that comes out.
American
like,
Gods.
Yeah, American Gods comes
That'll
out.
That'll be coming up.
On Sunday the 30th.
I know.
How bad was Sunday this? Can we talk about that for like 30 seconds? I got to Sunday, I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's nothing to watch. Like there was nothing to watch. I went from three shows, a legit two for sure. Where it's like, okay, from 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I know what I'm watching on Sunday nights. I'm excited. And then we got to 9 o'clock, my wife's like, what the hell are we gonna watch? I'm like, I don't know what the hell.
You know, it's been like that for a while. What's throwing it all off is Game of Thrones being postponed until July.
Yes.
Because Game of Thrones should have been started either this week or next week.
Hey, AMC gave you Better Call Saul Sunday nights, baby. I'm taken care of.
I'm back watching A&E catching back up because they brought Storage Wars back, and so like
Storage Wars. Are we there?
Are we really talking reality
TV?
Yeah,
we're there. No. We are a little bit. That's where
Christ.
I went.
I can't even. I can't even.
They even brought back one of the guys they fired for talking crap about the show. I'm just like
even on a geek show, even on a geek show, we're not even talking like geek reality TV too much. So come on, man.
okay, all right. I'm backing off. I'm just admitting it. You know, that's what happened on Sunday.
I'm gonna watch this Girl Boss. I'll let you know how it goes. My wife said that the book is supposed to be really, really good. So if it ends up being, it might hit really quick.
Oh, and I know we covered it ad nauseum last week, but I did finish 13 Reasons Why, and absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Everybody I've talked to who's seen it or I talked to about it, it's getting all the buzz, and it deserves all the credit. It's fantastic.
He's gonna he shot up the school, man. I can't wait for season two because he's gonna go in there like a lone gun.
That's what I was telling you. There's gonna be school shooting.
Everybody's done.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hop into our game on where we get an opportunity to talk about stuff that we've been playing or stuff that's come up in the gaming industry as of this week.
All right, and first up in Game On, Destiny 1 returns with Iron Banner and the new King's Fall Raid. Speaking of Chris being excited about shooting up stuff.
Yeah. Hey, I hopped on Destiny last week for like a little bit. Like I think it was
I was actually running with you.
Yeah, I ran a Nightfall and then couldn't find a single soul that wanted to run any type of raid. So then I bailed out after about 45 minutes of attempting. No joke, dude. I got punched out of raids like 3 times, like, oh, you're in. No, wait a minute, you're out. You're in. Oh, no, wait a minute, you're out. Like, all right. At that point, I was like, okay, and I hopped right over to Telltale Walking Dead because episode 3 just came out, so I played that.
So, biggest problem I have with the new King's Fall Raid is that there's absolutely no change. The only change is that all 3 of the challenge modes are active all at the same time.
Really? That's it?
That's it. There's no change at all to the entire raid or anything else.
This is kind of difficult, though, with the King's Fall Raid, because they went to such lengths compared to Vanilla Destiny to change the raid up. Do you know what I mean? Right. So at this point, trying to change up King's Fall is really difficult. I would think that, I mean, have all 3 of them run it seems pretty fair. The only reason that Vanilla is new to you is because you've never done it before. You know what I mean? So, like, that would make sense to me. It would take a lot for them to actually have to switch this.
Yeah, but some of them, like some of the other fights, like they added mechanics to it. But even on King's Fall, they added mechanics because the challenge modes were already there. They don't have to add that.
Yeah.
But adding a couple extra ads, make the ad wave slightly different and more challenging. I think that's something at least bare minimum they could have done, because the challenge modes, this was the first one to introduce it and was already set. They didn't have to make them like they did in the other ones.
Sure.
Listen, last week I got the chance to finally go through a full raid in a long time, and I got through VOG, and I got some decent loot that dropped. But then I was getting ready to switch out a character, and then wife's like, "Hey, we're gonna watch a movie. That's Fantastic Beasts. Go get some food." I'm like, "Oh, gosh." So I talked to the guys. I go, "Hey, I'm gonna pop my son in here. He's been wanting to get through the raid. Pop him in." They go. They take out Atheon. He gets the dang Vex Mythic class. His first
on
try.
Your tune.
See this?
No,
on his tune in your raid.
I believe the Switch can run vanilla Destiny, so I'm pretty sure you probably could have played it on the Switch and taken it with you. Honestly, though, that's pretty awesome. I don't have the Vex, and that's like one of the... There's like one or two weapons where I would be like... I would get severely excited if I was able to grab it. That would be one of them, for sure.
But you can... Luckily with that, you don't need a challenge mode. You can just go through. So every week you have an opportunity to be able to get in there, take on Atheon. And it's just a regular drop. It drops at 360. You have to bring it up to light level, but it doesn't have to be a challenge mode in order to get Vex.
And I didn't have much time this week because I was out of town, but I did get some Iron Banner in today, and it is sweaty.
Yes, it is
bad.
I've been doing that.
Yeah,
all
the casuals are gone. It is nothing but sweat up in Iron Banner right now. It's fun. But it's some try hard sweat.
Well, the people that are
playing
Destiny right
now. How many people have gotten hate mail?
That's the people that are playing, because it's diehard fans that are playing at this point. Because with all of the games that are out right now, I mean, I could list five games that are either a 9.5 or a 10 that are available right now to play within the last month and a half. So if you're playing Destiny, it's because you really care about Destiny.
Yeah, the only break we're gonna get is when Trials kicks up this weekend. So once those tryhards get their bounties done. They're gonna jump into that, so that's gonna free up some of that space. But it's I need a couple of Nubians to get in there to make up for the how hard it was today. It was rough.
Tuesday was a huge drop. Tuesday dropped Persona 5, and Persona 5 has just been off the rails for anybody. I mean, I know it dropped early in Japan for people that played it even last year. Infamously, like I've been listening to Podcast Beyond, and Goldfarb had played it, like basically beat the game in Japanese that he couldn't even understand what half of it said. But I was watching, I would say a half an hour run through. I mean, we have to be very careful because you aren't allowed to play. There's restrictions on the game on what you're allowed to show and what you're not allowed to show, or you can get permanent bans on YouTube or strikes against you. But the game looks pretty good. Like I haven't been a Persona fan. 100 hours of gameplay is a lot for one person. I think if, you know, in my situation with kids and a wife, that's a lot of time to dedicate to one thing, but it looked pretty fun. Like to me, it looked like a lot of fun, and it looked like something that as an entry level point for a JRPG that I could get into.
Like what's one that you would compare it to? Like if you were to compare it to like something you've seen as of recently?
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Like Final Fantasy or...
Not even that, because when I was watching the gameplay yesterday, and I watched, I don't know, easily about 45 minutes altogether, I think. I said a half an hour, but it was probably closer to 45 minutes. There was a lot less RPG so much as watching like scenes and cuts and stuff like that, and then a little bit of action and then back to it. And I only saw like two battles in the 45 minutes that I saw. But I guess the whole game doesn't open up till about the 6-hour mark, which, again... Okay. Here's the thing, though. Everybody was complaining about that with Mass Effect Andromeda, that the game doesn't open up until the 6 to 10, you know, hour mark. But in this game, everybody's praising it because Personas are... But it's also a different game. We're talking a JRPG versus action RPG, so people are expecting a little bit more out of one versus the other. So, but honestly, the dialogue and all that other stuff seemed pretty chill to me, and this is a heist game. Like, it's literally like a heist. It's like watching Ocean's 11, but in high school and with these kids through Persona. So I'm not really big into the lore, but I definitely could see myself hopping in and wanting to give it a try.
Next up, we got Sword Coast Legends on Xbox One. The game came out in 2015, but Xbox is doing a sale right now, that I was able to pick this title up for $6.60. Had I bought it at $19.99, I would have been a little frustrated because of some issues with the game. However, it scores pretty good for, like, just with critically, it's done pretty well. Microsoft scores a 3.7 out of 5. Metacritic gives it a 58%. Game Octane rates it 71%.
Those are season Ds.
What does Geekologist rate it?
Geekologist rates it. I would rate it. It's a C+.
Your opinions are your own, and they do not reflect.
So that's a solid 2.7.
Geekologist Radio.
Yes.
The reason why. So it's a lot of fun. It is fun. It hiccups, and even in the single player. But the single player, it's actually pulling me in. It plays a lot like Baldur's Gate. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with Baldur's Gate on PC, any of those games, it plays like that. Same with the character transitioning in and out. Your decisions matter. Your build, your character build up of like being able to do like character moves or anything else. It's one of the first versions of a game title that they put out based on the 5th edition, which happens to be something that Jeff from Nerdentials is really big on, and he wants us to eventually do some pen and paper game modes. Cajun?
Yeah, so I got a copy of this game back when it was on PC, when a friend of mine gave me a free copy of it, so I could get on and play with him. But the issue was that my actual home PC is just a bill-paying internet surfing machine, and I didn't realize how much power this game needed, and it was just like it was just nothing but like lag and drag. I was like, I can't even play this thing. So, yeah, I lose some geek card points there because I don't have a PC powerful enough to play Star Wars Legends about a year ago. But, yeah.
Bill paying surf machine sounds like an iPhone.
Because that's all they're good for.
The graphics actually, that was one of the things, is the graphics aren't that good. At least on a 50, but it's got a lot behind the engine of what it does because... You could actually get into this game. Now, it does not have all the races of the 5th edition, but it does have a lot. That there's some people that will ping it down on that. But what you can do is you can go and create your own campaign. So we're teaming up. I know I got it, and a bunch of the guys over at Nerdentials got it. We're going to have one of the Jeff over there. He's going to play Dungeon Master. He's going to create his campaign and dynamically drop monsters in and stuff like that to affect us. We're going to take our characters that we've created, and we're going to do a stream between Nerdentials and Geekologists on it. That's kind of what we're doing in the game. Right now, I'm playing the there's two campaign story lines that come with the game, and it honestly has me more in within like the first like hour of the story. It has me more hooked than Andromeda. But this is one of the big, big problems with this is because of the way the engine works and everything. Massive load times. Like I'm saying, if you load up into a main board area, you're looking at a 2 to 3 minute wait time for that screen to load up. And that's just even firing the game up. Oof. That is where it gets knocked down quite a bit. But once you get in and play... You're in, and then you go to another loading area. You're like, okay, you know, might as well, you know, hey, let's pay a bill or something like that. But for $6.60, that is a price willing to pay. And if you can get it while it's on sale right now, after this episode comes out, you should have like 3-4 more days, I think, to get it. Actually, look, scratch that. You'll have like 2 days to get it. Pick it up if you have an extra $6.60. It's definitely worth that. And if you have some buddies on to play it with, it's fun. You can do random generated dungeons as well.
Awesome.
Next up is something that's being streamed everywhere. I played the beta thanks to Chris. Talking about PlayerUnknown's Battleground. This game is insane. A coworker, he actually picked it up off of recommendation from me and watching some of the streams and stuff. And I actually let him play it on my laptop, and I've been playing that quite a bit actually. you can loot. The thing about this title is because of the basis of it, you start off, there's like 98 players. And when you go into the one to the starting area, you got these tables set up with weapons. You run over and you can grab them. You can test them out, throw them at each other, whatnot. You can't kill each other because you're in the lobby. But then you go into a plane and it drops you down. It's a lot like H1Z1 King of the Kill. But I feel like this one is a lot better in a lot of aspects. A game lasts, like, if you're waiting on the time, I mean, the game mode's not going to last that long. I keep lasting until, like, I get in the top 10 quite a bit. But usually what I die by is being too far outside of the circle that closes down. But if you've watched it online at all, it is a lot of fun. It bridges a couple things that I like. I like third-person shooters, and I like survival games. And it's a mix of both those. But it puts it into more of a time frame of, say, the Division, the Division's second update, Survival, yeah.
So when you say it's the second Division, when you're talking about the time commitment to get equipment leveled up into it?
No, I'm talking about, like, it plays like Survival.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Survival, you're trying to get to a central location. Division Survival is essentially Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, but you don't have to look for clothing to, like, help keep you warm. You are being pushed to the center of a position that's pinpointed on the map. And there's, like I said, 98 people to start out. By the time you get to the center, there's usually only about five or six.
That sounds fun. That's cool.
It is. It is a lot of fun. There's rumors that it actually might come to console. And Brandon and Chris, you guys would be able to play it. But the rumors are, just like H1Z1, it would come to Sony exclusive. As a Sony exclusive for a year.
Yeah.
Then it would come to Xbox One.
I think it'd be really difficult to come to Sony because of the updates.
Which are not a problem with Xbox One. Xbox One went away from games that take a lot of updates. If you're willing to go into the early access program, they waive all fees on any updates you want to put into games. So that they're trying to push that early access stuff.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that's the issue with playing with console games is the updates, especially with mods or any changes. You're just waiting a long period of time where PC gamers are able to get something instantly. Console gamers have to wait weeks to months for it to be applicable across all platforms before it can kind of run across. Yeah. So.
But I strongly recommend it. If you like The Division, if you like Survival, give this game a go. You won't be disappointed.
Nintendo had their Direct a couple of days back, and they left off a roadmap, which is pretty nice. For gamers who are complaining that there were or are no games for the Switch, if you haven't seen Snake Pass or Mr. Shifty, or a pretty rad game that allows a spaceship to blow some things up, which is pretty cool. There's tons of stuff to do besides just playing Breath of the Wild, which by far, I would think this year has been on most people's either number one or number two list,
right,
you know, for games. But as far as the Direct's concerned, you got a nice roadmap. You know that Mario Kart's coming out on the 28th. They dropped some knowledge about Minecraft, which wasn't even expected as a Switch game for May 11th, which is going to add Mario and Mario characters to Minecraft, which is really cool for Switch.
Oh, that's cool.
It lends to being a travel game to play Minecraft, which is pretty awesome. So I think that's really, really nice. They added Sonic Mania, which is going to be coming in the summer. They also talked about ARMS, which is going to be coming out around that same exact time. There's a couple. They added Payday 2, which is coming out at the tail end of 2017. They talked about the fact that towards the end of the year, again, you're going to go see Mario. So each month when you're going along here, you're adding a couple of titles, which Nintendo is notorious for having these huge peaks and then huge valleys of games. And so to be able to kind of fill those in with these little games like Snake Pass, like Mr. Shifty, like these are things that you're going to be able to add into your repertoire and have on the go, which, and ukulele, which is going to be another game that they're going to be coming out with. So these type of games that are just easy catch and carries, games that you might not play if you were on console, but if you're on the go, it's like, well, yeah, I got some time to kill. All right, cool. I'll play this for like 20 minutes or half an hour.
Right. And I saw the value of the Switch without even owning one on my recent 4-hour drive back and forth to Houston. Sitting there in the car, just, I could be playing a crappy mobile game right now, or could be playing Breath of the Wild, or any other game that's on the Switch mobile friendly. The quality of the game of a phone mobile game versus what some of these on the Switch is pushing it above and beyond the tablet with a controller. I was calling it before, and I definitely could see that in just my want to play a good game with controllers right there in the car instead of something on my phone. And I think that has a that marketplace, especially somebody who travels a lot. If my job changed and I had to travel a lot more than I do now, and where I was not driving, oh my God, yeah, that huge market for me.
Yeah, the other thing is now there's a peripheral out that you can slide your Switch into that acts as a dock, but it's also a battery pack, and you can put two other memory sticks inside of this dock, and it also acts as almost like an OtterBox to your Switch unit, giving you a solid base across the back so that you don't have to deal with the where some people have complained that the controls, when they slide in, it has a little bit of give. It's a complete base across that, and that was one of the things that I was having a hard time justify is like I wanted something, because I know with me I clench things,
yeah,
a little tight.
Snap them.
That right there, yeah, and that right there, I was like, that'd be good.
Yep. Oh, so God. For Chris, that though, that's a third party thing though, right? That's not a Nintendo.
That is, it's a, yo, it's a third party, but it's a third party thing they have. And it came up in my Amazon stuff, and so I saw it, and I was like, I looked at a couple of reviews, and the reviewers are liking it. Some people complain that it makes the unit too bulky, but then another YouTuber was comparing it to actually now holding a Wii U controller.
Yeah.
Now I a couple other things that came out too, just as far as games are concerned. We talked about having the early date in April. June 16th is when ARMS is released. And then in July, Splatoon, on July 21st, Splatoon 2. So you're hitting April, there's a gap in May, June, July, and then they have release dates starting in September again for some of those fall dates. And in May is when they have Minecraft. So you've got all those games in a row. That's a pretty nice lineup of consistent games coming out for Nintendo. Again, the Switch, its biggest downfall was the battery, and now there's a workaround with these connectors, and all you got to do is connect a battery charger to it. It can charge the battery within a half an hour to 45 minutes. So on long 5 or 6 hour plane flights, I mean, so you can't play 6 hours, but you can play 5 hour, you know, it's just because you can play with the battery charger connected up to it. It's not really that big of a deal anymore. Mm. And soon they're going to have a workaround on that where you can add a battery pack extender onto it. So
yeah,
that'll be changing. They're going to be selling those docks individually soon. So you can have two docks. So if you want to move from one television to another, you'll have that available to you soon, along with the neon colors as far as the Joy-Cons. So you'll have neon, like a yellowish, greenish
Splatoon
color.
Edition, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the bad part, badass part about Splatoon 2, Horde mode. Like, they're adding it specifically for Splatoon 2, so with online play, you want to get your gears on with Splatoon, which I can see that happening with groups of people. Adding Horde mode to Splatoon 2 is a huge deal. Especially for a game that you're trying to market as a multiplayer game and give people a reason to want to be online with Nintendo and pay for that online charge.
You're killing me, Smalls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's I'm a big fan of the Switch. I've been playing it a lot. I enjoy it a lot.
I think the Splatoon 2 Nintendo Switch edition with the neon console handles is going to be what pulls Damien in.
There we go.
First off, is it neon orange? If it's neon orange, I'm in. I was in like yesterday.
I think it's green and purple.
No.
Yeah.
It's green and purple.
Yeah.
I've got.
Well, my wife likes purple, so I guess I could still go with that.
I have Mario Kart on order, so I'll have it here on the 28th. I'm super excited to play it. That's what I played at Sat Pack South. It was basically the reason that turned me into reordering and then eventually just outright buying a damn Switch. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited for Mario Kart.
If you would have kept that
speaking of a game
pre-order, tomorrow would be the day that you'd be getting it, isn't it? April 14th?
Oh, it would be. Yeah. Yeah, it was like April 14th. It was something silly like that, wasn't it? Fouts, you're going to be owning a game here soon. Well, not soon, but August 22nd. I own Uncharted, and so I own the Deluxe Edition, which now includes the Uncharted Lost Legacy. It's the game that's going to be a standalone. It's $40, got about 10 hours of gameplay, which totally rocked everybody, because if you played any extended edition of The Last of Us, it was only roughly about a three-hour game, and so it took a lot of criticism for 3 hours for $20. And now there's a lot of people that are bitching and moaning about $40 for a 10-hour standalone game for Naughty Dog, but a 10-hour Naughty Dog game is probably about as good as other people's 20-hour games. I'm going to be honest with you. So especially for a standalone game like this, this has nothing to do with Uncharted aside from characters that are part of Uncharted. This could technically be Uncharted 5 if they really wanted to call it that. This is not, air quotes, DLC. This is a standalone game.
Doesn't that also have a multiplayer with it, just like the original? I was going to say, so there's more than 10 hours of gameplay, because Naughty Dog's games have been notoriously awesome with the multiplayer. They're not always just like an added-on thing. They actually feel like they actually planned them ahead of time. One of the things Last of Us had going for it was they had a pretty feverish crew of people playing that multiplayer. And this has another multiplayer that's as good as some of the other Uncharted games. That's going to be a huge seller, and you know, because you're giving more content. So $40 for a 10-hour campaign. Listen, Call of Duty campaigns usually between 6 and 10 hours tops.
And people that you're complaining about dev time too. I mean, Naughty Dog had 15 months to create this 10-hour game, whereas dev times are less than 12 months for the way that Call of Duty's. I mean, I realize they have a 2-year span in between. But still, the quality and level that you're going to be getting out of this game, you know that part of Naughty Dog was working on this game prior to the end of Uncharted, so they had a larger lead time than even the 15 months.
Being a Destiny fan, I've heard them complain about $20, $30, $40 for expansions and then put hundreds of hours in, knowing you're going to put hundreds of hours in. So, yeah, I can see a gamer complaining $40 for 10 hours, but I can also completely justify if it's a really quality game spending $40 for 10 hours. But on the other side, I've heard that's completely illogical. I'm not spending $20 on this thing, but I'm going to put a lot of time into it, which is equal to hundreds of hours.
A couple of things before we break off of this subject. One, you get Jack and Daxter, which if you've never played Jack and Daxter, it holds up. And it's a Naughty Dog original, which is pretty badass. Two, there are workarounds around this $40. Best Buy, Amazon, or if you go to Best Buy and buy Uncharted right now, you can get the extended edition of Uncharted, the deluxe version, and only pay $30 and still get this version. So be smart about it. Like, you get Uncharted, and then you get this for $30. Do it that way. So there are workarounds around the $40 if that's your biggest complaint. Honestly, though, if you know Naughty Dog motion capture and storytelling, I do not doubt that this game is going to be fantastic for the 10 hours that you play it. Now on to Star Wars. Yes. So there was a teaser trailer for Battlefront 2. Damon, you want to get into it a little bit?
Yes. So there's a lot of stuff going on with this, with the Battlefront 2 teaser trailer. First off, when they show it's going to be spanning multiple timelines again. We're not just stuck in one timeline. We are going back to the original. However, the original's campaigns were just built on the multiplayer universe, very similar to like the original Titanfall. But with this, you're getting storyline, and we know that one of the protagonists is another strong female character. And Chris, you were saying that this character from, was it Podcast Unlocked?
Yep.
Stated that it was a female character.
For sure, which has me really excited because Star Wars hasn't been afraid to break molds now with this would be the third. I mean, we're talking, yeah, we're talking the third straight project that they're working on or have had come out that has a female protagonist in as their lead, which I think is fantastic.
Now, the teaser also hinted at something else that people have always wanted to kind of see, which was Yoda versus Darth Maul.
Hmm, okay.
We haven't seen anything like that really since, you know, like the rest in peace Disney Infinity. But it's, I mean, the different battles and stuff like that, because if it's going across different timelines, you're going to have various characters to play as. That's going to have multiple stories, which will put it into more. And this is something that EA's done pretty well with. It's starting to sound like Battlefront 2 is going to have a campaign very similarly to that of Battlefield 1.
Okay.
Which, if that's the case, that's a good thing. And then another thing, Chris, you were talking about is that they're bringing back. This is all stuff that happened before the show, the podcast before the show. But Chris mentioned that also the same fact that they are going back to the roots of Battlefield, the original Battlefront, which talks about you actually being no longer coins. The vehicles are going to be out there. If you're an Empire and you can go sneak in to the other side and you can jump in an X-Wing, guess what? You can fight as an X-Wing and take out Rebels.
In that teaser trailer, you can see somebody hopping on a Tauntaun. So, like, that has me excited. The other thing that I'm really excited about for this is listen, everybody complains and bitches about the prequels, but the planets and the story of the prequels, get away from the characters, mm-hmm. okay? But if you could go to Naboo, if you can go to Geonosis, if you can go to these places, these would make great backdrops for actual gameplay stories for video mm-hmm. games. So why not reach there and go there? Because if you go to these places, you have very vibrant colors. You can kind of make up the characters that are around it. You don't have to use some of the prequel characters, whatever you want to do to make it canon or whatnot. But you can bring past characters into these planets and make it an interesting storyline. And now you can use The Force Awakens. And also you can use things that are going to be in the future. So you can be adding additions to this storyline. Makes me really excited, and the fact that you actually have a single-player story. Holy crap. If you played Battlefront now, the people that were complaining about it 8 months ago, you're like, wait, what were you guys complaining about? This game's awesome. Well, yeah, because it took 8 months for it to get good. So, like, let's start the game out at where we're at now and then work our way even farther. You know what I mean? I think that that's what's going to mm-hmm. help Battlefront 2. I think they really learned their lesson. They took a huge beating on that single player. They took a Titanfall beating on that single player. And they got lucky because it's a Star Wars characters. You know, it's that universe. So people are going to follow regardless. Now they have to earn it this time around.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So contrary to our last two topics, we are now going to the hype train.
So in our hype train, we like to talk about things that are upcoming or are about to be out soon, things that we're excited about. So this is not something that we've seen yet, but these might be trailers or videos that we're super pumped about. So let's get into Transformers The Last Knight.
I just wanted to say that Battlefront 2 and Naughty Dog's announcement were both hype train topics.
Yeah. Hence my comment, contrary to our last two topics, we are now going to the hype
Damn.
Train.
Damn. Sorry. Sorry, we're so excited. Sorry.
yep.
But, all right.
But Transformers of Last Night.
Last night. You know what? I wish I could get excited about this. So I'm just going to let people who are excited about this talk.
I'll talk about it, but I am as equally not excited as you are. So I'll pass it on to somebody else.
Thank you. All right. Go ahead. Feel free to talk about it.
Okay, it's got Sir Anthony Hopkins. Oh,
he's going to reach through the computer and strangle us.
Okay. This actually, to me, is them getting gritty, getting dark. This better not turn into like a Care Bear situation, because this needs to be just like the original animation or the actual European version of the animated film. They need to get dark, gritty. Transformers need to die on both sides. Humans need to die. This needs to be a dark film, because so far, I mean, you got the creator who looks like Omnigul. Just gonna throw that out there, but it's going on a couple of different stories lines, following loosely from the different generations of the comics, from different makers, either Dark Horse or Marvel. But this looks so dang good. From a fan perspective, okay.
Could Mark Wahlberg be any less interesting as a character?
Agree.
I mean, literally.
I don't even care. I don't. Okay, Mark Wahlberg. I don't. I don't care about his character. The only thing
don't
I
give
am
up on
about,
Optimus. Don't just don't do it.
I mean, come on. I'm gonna kiss you, Optimus. I don't know how I got so close to you, but I'm gonna kiss you now. In this trailer.
But we're getting a couple of the other characters. We're getting a couple of the other characters back from the original.
Are we getting Megan Fox back?
Megan Fox lookalike.
Nope.
No.
Done.
Yes. Yes.
Nope.
She's generic Megan Fox. Michael Bay hires hot brunette put in this role now.
I forgot this was Michael Bay. So really big explosion scenes. No real thought process. No real story.
This actually looked, no, contrary to belief, Anthony Hopkins says that this one is actually heavy on story.
He was paid
a lot. Anthony Hopkins was given a big check and said, buy another house with this. And he's like, what I got to do? I'm like, all right.
I may or may not be in Westworld 2. I don't know.
And then I'm good.
I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to crap on your parade.
I am.
It's just after like the second Transformers, it's like, really, like this. Where are we going with this? It just isn't interesting anymore to me. Listen, I don't want to take a dump on Transformers. I really don't. I loved Transformers as a kid, but it's, you know, where is Mask? Can we just bring Mask back? How awesome would that be?
That would be cool.
Okay, that actually would be cool.
I mean, the 8th Transformers movie. It's like, dude, we get it. There's Transformers. They're trying to create them and make them human, and it's just not working for me. That I think that's the part where, like, I don't feel for Optimus Prime. I don't feel for any of the characters. I don't care.
Yeah, I would really like.
Hey, listen, they are still working on He-Man.
I would really like a reboot of this with a different director, or just taking the story in a different direction with a different director and producer, because.
Does he just slap his name on it? I mean, does Michael Bay just slap his name on it? Like a stamp. Explosions. Mm. Done.
The rumor is that there's going to be, because this is becoming, it is now becoming a cinematic Transformer universe, now other directors are going to start coming in. There's going to be a Bumblebee origin story, which will go back.
Nobody will watch. Like, nobody will watch it.
Bull. Everybody will watch it that are fans, because they're going to go back to Cybertron. It's going to go back. It's going to follow actually very closely to the games, if you played them, the first original Transformers games that came out, which were highly successful.
I wonder if they're going to come up with the Smurfs or cinematic universe.
Oh yeah,
it already is.
The origin story of Puppet Smurf. Is there an origin story of Puppet Smurf?
There needs to be.
Yes.
I mean, the guy's like 100.
This one's an origin story. Also, the one that's just out is an origin story of like females.
Yeah, Smurfette got an origin story.
Oh, I thought it was Grandma Smurf.
The other thing that they're looking at, the other rumor that's going around, is something that's been asked for fans for a long time, is that they're talking about bringing in Beast Wars. Now, this would exclude humans. This would wind up being just
CG.
Basically an animated
Nothing
film.
Nothing but CG.
CG film. But if they bring Beast Wars in, that is a really dark, gritty show before it got put on to a different network where they had to cut a lot of that out. But it was really good. If they can do that and they can get away from the director and they're not suffering the DC kind of issues that they've had, and he actually finally takes a step out and says, like, hey guys, here you go. Do what you want. Give creative control to these people. Then we could actually get some really cool stuff. Because if they mess up, if they do a Beast Wars film and they mess up on that, that's like a whole subgenre of Transformers fans, and you don't want to piss those guys off, because those guys are crazy fanatic about their stuff. I'm one of them.
But I think Michael Bay's already pissed off a lot of people with some of his character and plot choices that he's made in some of these movies so far.
killing off characters, not proper ways of killing them off, not giving them the out that they should, and then going, oh, in the book we wrote it this way, that's why these characters aren't here.
Can't we bring back Shia LaBeouf? I mean, where's Shia LaBeouf?
Let's go. Do it.
Eventually, they are talking about bringing him back, and even Megan Fox.
That one. Speaking about movies that people actually care about, Aquaman has a new cast member. And it's Dolph Lundgren, which I think is awesome. Like, the fact that Dolph...
I do, too.
Dolph Lundgren actually is, like, is pertinent again, which is effing awesome.
Well, he's been doing decent with getting roles. Not always good roles, but he's been doing decent since, you know, his, you know, Untouchables.
This guy has no acting skills.
Not Expendables.
What the hell, man?
Untouchables.
Yeah, he's going back after Al Capone. I'm, you know, sorry.
Dolph Lundgren chasing out Al Capone. We're talking.
Chris. Dolph Lundgren's what? Is it 60s? Gotta be, right?
He's still a badass martial artist.
Okay. This guy has no acting chops whatsoever and is able to make a career out of it still and being in like high profile movies. All kudos to Dolph Lundgren for the fact that he is like in any of this shit. Like, it's ridiculous.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But you realize that guy's a genius too, right?
I don't care if he's a genius or not. He can't.
By whose standard?
Like, everything he's. He's Van Damme style acting.
Oh, no, by genius standard. Like, I was like, what's his
genius standard. I'm like, but the fact that he's an Aquaman, he plays a character that has a pretty pertinent role in the New 52. Is that correct?
I mean, so just so you know, Dolph Lundgren's IQ is actually 160.
What's the average human? 155?
I don't know, but it is genius level.
It is genius.
Well,
level.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
He's a doctor of muscles.
He's a muscle doctor.
Not from Brussels.
No, that's Van Damme.
Doctor of the gun show.
Who has two tickets to the gun show? 90 to 110 is the average. Einstein was like 155. So
Dolph Lundgren is smarter than Einstein?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking.
He's actually studied chemistry at Washington State University.
Stephen Hawking is 160.
Damn. So, yeah, by that standard.
That'll put it in.
Yeah, he's a chemist.
Into perspective.
Yeah, he's a chemist.
Yeah, wow.
Let's stay on the Marvel DC movie trailer hype train. I about shit myself when I saw the Thor one, because that thing, like, and I'm not a big Thor fan, and that trailer was awesome.
Yes! I know him! From work!
We're work buddies!
Dude, when I put out that meme, I got so many responses where I'm like, when you think your work friend is close, when really isn't. And then he just sucker punches him. So you can see where Hulk has an ego that's been kind of pumped up a little bit by being in that arena. Right. And he has the Hulk.
It's Planet Hulk, too.
Planet Hulk, but he also has the collar, too, right? So, like, that's the other thing that keeps him in Hulk mode. And when Thor has, like, the trashy Thor helmet on and the shield with like whatever. So I'm kind of curious on how that battle scene ends, because you see him going at each other and there's already some riffing going on in Avengers. So
we're not even done to talk about the fact of Hela breaking Mjolnir.
Yep.
She broke the hammer like she with her pinky fingers.
Shattered it.
This thing's done.
And Kate Blanchett looks hot as hell.
I did not realize that Hela was his
Loki's daughter.
I know it was Loki's daughter, but I had no idea what the integral relationship was with the lead baddie from Avengers for this whole Infinity War that's going to be going on, and to the point where they're not just like buddies; they're intimate.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thanos, that's Thanos, well, what he wishes as a boot.
But she's more powerful than he is.
Oh, yeah, she is ultimate. Like, she is, I mean, she runs basically hell. That Loki put her down there. He's like, you're going to run this for me? I'm going to go cause mischief. Yeah.
He flips those blades.
Yeah. For me, like, the way this trailer dropped with no teaser poster, no teaser trailer, no warning, just here's full trailer. Like, that's pretty rare nowadays that we don't get any of that stuff. And it's just all of a sudden, Thor Ragnarok trailer's out, everybody freaks out. And then it's so much more humorous than I was expecting. And that's what really got me. I was like, this actually looks like it's going to be, like, away from the dark stuff, it's going to be fun. Like, it's going to have some serious stuff with the villain side of it, but it looks like it's going to have a lot of humor, a lot of fun. James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, said it's his favorite Marvel trailer he's ever seen. So this thing, it hit. It's fantastic.
We've been saying for months now that it was just going to be a buddy film, and that's exactly what it is. It's going to be a buddy comedy.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. You're right.
Except for the fact it's going to still have a lot of dark elements because in Ragnarok, in the story of Ragnarok, basically, Marvel uses Ragnarok when they bring it into the series to destroy all the universes, basically. But the gods, lots of gods die, and what happens is they have to regain their power. They're reborn, but they're reborn as humans until they prove themselves worthy to become gods again. And that's this kind of, and that's even the story of, is just in the lore, Norse mythology in general. So you're gonna see this; they're gonna use this as a means to kill off some characters. Do I think that Loki may get killed off? It all depends on Tom Hiddleston and his dollar signs, what they're willing to pay. But this is going to, you're gonna get your comedy with this, but don't think that comedy is gonna be without cost. There is going to be a level of death that's going to have not been seen in any Marvel film up to date yet.
But there was no comedy in the previous two Thor movies. And so to bring the comedy that he brings to Avengers 1 and 2 into his own film, I think is a huge step forward, because a lot of people were lost on the original two Thor movies based upon the fact that it was very, very dry. And it was just kind of basically, well, here I am. This is my show.
Right. Anybody else notice his hair got cut short?
Yeah.
Well, they chop it in. They chop it in that scene where. Yeah.
Well, there's also another reason for that is because he is had to have his hair cut short for his role in the new Star Trek.
Ah, so they just put it right into the this one as well.
They had to roll it in.
But yeah, this looks.
Well,
fun.
he could have had the fake hair extensions like he did in the original Thor.
So what do you guys think about the theory that Heimdall has the final Infinity Stone?
He has
the Soul Stone, and the reason why is in Thor, the second Thor movie, Thor walks up to Heimdall, and Heimdall literally says, I can see all nine realms and 10.3 trillion souls. Also, his eyes are the color of the Soul Stone.
They are the color of the stone. That's a good point.
And the vision...
It would be in his blade then, right?
Thor had of the future, Heimdall is blind. Which is why he loses the stone, is what everybody's saying in this movie.
That
actually...
Which
that
ties
sounds,
it directly into Infinity Wars with Thanos getting all the stones.
Yeah.
And Guardians of the
Galaxy.
That's
what we were talking about. Like, when was that stone going to come up? And I thought it would be more Guardians of the Galaxy. Initial thought probably was more Guardians of the Galaxy, but this theory makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Right.
So, Star Wars Celebration is bringing out somebody who's been in hiding for good reason.
Well,
since,
not necessarily.
Since the prequels.
But now, because of Mark Hamill and how they're spinning stuff, fans are starting to go back and actually give the prequels a try again.
That's the prequel Care Bear stare.
That's the Care Bear stare.
No, that's not. That's actually what they're stating. They're stating there is actually love for Hayden Christensen again, who is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That the acting in that those prequels is some of the worst.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Well, the thing is they need Darth Vader, because now with they've killed off Han Solo, Princess Leia.
Spoiler.
No longer.
I'm just kidding.
So they have to do something. They have to do something. So Hayden Christensen's it. They need someone to come in and give, you know, be the guy who's going to bring Kylo to the light.
Who would have thought that Hayden Christensen would have had Star Wars by the balls on this one? Like, I mean, this is bad. Like, he's no, just like, now. Oh, you want to make fun of me?
Out of Leia in Rogue One. They didn't need to bring him back.
No, they promised that they wouldn't
I
do that
I wasn't saying
her, though.
Leia, though. They could have been anybody.
Bring Yoda back from the dead. Come on.
Yeah.
Now.
He's on... Anyway, that's something else. He's on set. We already talked about this. We've done all that. We even called out that Hayden Christensen, that we figured that he was going to come back because he was on set. So I already called it that he's going to do something to come back and to, I'm going to punch you guys in the nuts. I really liked the prequels. I actually really liked.
When he does his stare, Millennium Falcons come out of his chest.
Rainbows and unicorns.
Oh, rainbows. Speaking of Star Wars, no Lando in Episode 8. Kind of a bummer. Like, I'm actually kind of bummed about that.
But the thing is that we already called what we figure that is, because he's all trying to play all coy, but he's at the celebration. He's trying to play coy that, oh, he hasn't been put into the movie. We already called that how it's going to probably start out,
yep,
or at least end, mm-hmm, with the Han Solo Lando buddy film. It's going to be Lando Calrissian either telling the story, and then at the end you'll see him and he's at a cantina talking about it, like a wake or something of that sort. Or it's going to start out with him in there telling the story.
Yep. Yeah.
That'll be where you first see Lando.
So excited about Episode 8. And they officially started talking about Episode 8 when they did the Star Wars 40, which I think was really, really cool. They talked about the fact that they were trying to bring people onto the set of the new Han Solo film. Or you could go with Daisy Ridley and go to the showing of the new Star Wars film. When it debuts in, well, for them, early December. And so they're trying to give all this money that goes to charity. And with the Star Wars 40, they're giving out opportunities, which I think is really, really awesome. Mark Hamill was on Daisy Ridley, which they have like a bromance between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
He tweets at her all the time. She tweets at him all the time. It's actual, like, genuine friendship, which I think is really kind of cool, kind of bridging the gap between the two.
It is. It's really passing the baton,
yeah,
or the saber.
We have seriously been talking about who the F is Cable for the longest time. We've been guessing. At one point we had Pierce Brosnan, right? Like, Pierce Brosnan was on the list of people should've that could have been Cable.
But, yeah, but now he's the hairy son of Texas.
Don't pass. So somebody that's been able to bridge the gap between two cinematic universes is going to be Cable, and that's Josh Brolin. So what are thoughts? What are thoughts about Josh Brolin being able and being Cable?
Nobody would have thought of this because of the fact that he was Thanos. Mm-hmm. So because of that, he never was on anybody's radar. But the fact that he's coming over here, like that, I mean, it's perfect because, I mean, he does know humor. I mean, he was in Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think that, you know, you're going to see references to that alone in Deadpool 2 now? Some Goonie reference, you're going to see some Thanos reference, definitely. Like, Bullsack Chin.
There better
be
a bicycle involved in this reference on Goonies, because I want to see his hand.
Oh, that would be awesome. Cable on a
tricycle. Like, he has to keep going. Yeah. But for Josh Brolin, what do you think about the physical appearance part of this? Because he's got to turn into this character. Is he going to be able to physically turn into this character?
If you saw him in the role that he played when it was what was the one? It was really twisted. Not Gone Baby. It's where he wound up with his daughter in the end, actually.
He's really physically fit. He would just need to pack on a little bit of weight to play it, I think. But when I first heard
honestly,
I was like,
help him. That wouldn't hurt him either, playing Thanos, because Thanos has kind of got a stockier build anyways.
Yeah, but a lot of that's under makeup, though. Yeah, it does have a stockier build, but you can hide a lot of that because there's just so much makeup and costume there that Cable is going to be a little more in person. But at the same time, like, this movie's going to take itself so not seriously that whatever it's going to come out as is going to be great. And I'm glad that they finally announced it and this wasn't just going on forever, because they said that, I mean, since Deadpool 2 hit theaters last February, I mean, over a year ago, we've been talking about it because it purposely set us that up at the end. It's like, here, we're going to cast Cable, and it just set it going. Everybody talking about who's going to be Cable right there at the end post-credit scene. And so, yeah, they had their own little marketing machine going for us talking about all that crap. Yeah. Damon?
Yeah, I mean, it was Old Boy was the film I was trying to think of. He got ripped for that film, and he actually started out, they took two different times. Like, they filmed him when he had a beer belly and everything else, and then he lost the weight and put on muscle, and they went back to filming, and he was, if he gets to that shape,
that'd be no problem.
He'll be golden for playing Cable.
Yeah, they almost had to do this with the Logan trailer that dropped for Deadpool. They had to give up this information pretty quickly. They're into filming or getting into filming now, like pre-production is starting up, so they have to, like, okay, we got to start releasing some information here because we're going to start buzz on Deadpool. This is the buzz. Then we'll get the buzz when it cuts. Then we'll get the buzz with the teaser trailer. So you want to get some more information out there.
And his IMDb is updated. So it stays up pre-production Cable. Nice. 2018.
That's awesome. We talked about it earlier, but Scorpio is going to be officially debuted at E3 at the press briefing on 6/11 at 2 p.m. Eastern. Super excited. This kind of gives us information on the fact that there is going to be no May off Xbox campus, whatever it is that we thought we were going to get. This again leads me to believe, and I said it last week, that Xbox is not confident in the games. And so half of this press conference is going to be about the Scorpio, and the other half is going to be about the games, because they're not as confident about what it is they have coming out as far as first-party games for this machine.
Yeah, but at the same time, they have no competition for first-party games on this machine. They're going to have the entire breadth of everything on Xbox One on this system, and so to have this as a to have games as a system seller for this. Right now, the tech is the system seller for this. The games could possibly, I think, come later as a plus.
They've kind of dialed back also on some of the stuff that they've talked about. If you've read some of the articles and other things that have been out there, they've even said that initially there will not be games developed solely for Scorpio. But that they have gone and realized that, you know, you can't, that they would be holding back their machine if they didn't allow developers eventually to create games that will be Scorpio exclusive.
Very, very true. Star Wars Forces of Destiny animated microseries is going to be releasing this summer. The thing that I thought was awesome about this was, one, it deals with all, again, female protagonists, which seems to be a theme right now of Star Wars. Daisy Ridley, Felicity Jones, and Lupita Nyong'o are all lending their voices to the characters that they portrayed in the series, which I think is really, really cool. I think it's going to give very clear 10 to 15 minute stories about these characters in a impactful way. I cannot stress enough how important it is to have female leads in strong roles in series like this, because there are not cartoons and there are not characters that are available to females that show this kind of strength. And for Star Wars to take that leap forward, I think is pretty awesome in my book.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they're doing a lot of stuff on the animated front right now. So it's going to be good to see.
They really, really...
And it's all canon, so it all bridges gaps in between stories and fills things, you know, creates a more fulfilled universe.
The one curiosity that I had in this whole entire micro series is they are doing a Princess Leia 15 minutes, and I am so curious on who they are using to voice act for her.
They should use her daughter.
It would be kind of cool if they did that, or somebody that sounded like almost or very close to. But we'll see. So totally unsure. But the fact that you're going to be getting this at all, again, another bridge to The Last Jedi. I know my son and I are watching XD right now. We're catching up on lots of past episodes. Damien, I know you're going to be reviewing Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy. So what are our thoughts here on the first trailer? What kind of things do we get from the first trailer for this?
That the animation style they went with, they went very close to well, at least with Star-Lord, they went very Chris Pratt with his appearance. They did do that. I think that's because for a lot of people, the film is, because these characters aren't, I mean, they are a big part of Marvel, bigger now, but I feel like the film was a lot of people's entry into Guardians. Mm-hmm.
The film being canon for these folks.
Yeah, and so for that, I think that's why they kind of like, oh, well, you know, the other characters we can do Liberty with, because like Gamora doesn't look like her actress self. Neither does the tattooing on Drax.
Drax doesn't, conversation wise and that doesn't look the same. So I thought it was interesting they kind of went a different
direction. In the comics, isn't Drax human?
No. Drax is an alien.
I could have sworn I thought it. So, I don't know. Never mind.
I am Groot.
But the difference is that he's got tattoos on this, where is his tattooing in the film is also done as a scarification as well. But yeah, Groot, just it looks like it's going to be a fun ride. I have heard rumors that this is going to be a little less on the that you're going to have more control of the characters than you have in other Telltale entries, and I'll be interested to see how they play that out. But this will be probably, I've played the other Telltale games, but this will probably be the first one where I will replay and try the different avenues of choices and stuff to make, because I love these characters so dang much.
As a Star Wars fan, tomorrow getting a teaser trailer for The Last Jedi is like Christmas. And so for us as a Geekologist crew, I know we're going to have a lot to say about this. Because we'll break down the hell out of this thing.
And sadly, I'm recording this the day before. And when the time you listen to it, listeners, yes, you'll be listening to it and have already seen it. So sadly.
You may even be listening to our spoiler cast on the fact that we're having a breakdown conversation about the trailer at the same exact time that we're talking about the fact. Because Star Wars is one thing that we're super duper passionate about. Like, we can't get around it. I feel bad for the listeners who don't really care about Star Wars, but I do, and I think we all
Ty
do.
Boy, you need to watch Star Wars. We have a deal. Just let Ty you know. Ty Boy did make a deal with me. He is supposed to watch 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Nice.
Shout out to Ty Boy. You and Spider-Man are the only two people that haven't seen Empire Strikes Back.
I can't watch Spider-Man.
So, that was a good reference.
Yeah.
Nice little pickup on that.
So, needless to say, we're going to be talking about it. We don't want to say anything more than the fact that it's going to be at the Star Wars Celebration. And we'll have more to talk about this in the near future. When you hear about it, it might be the past. So Marvel has their new Wolverine. Let's have a discussion about the fact that Marvel has their new Wolverine. Already? It seems early, right?
It does seem early.
I mean, they're trying to hit the ground running. And it's going on and it's taking place right now in where it's got the younger X-Men, which plays into a lot of stuff that we saw, and in the movie style could connect back up in a different way. But it's where it's in Magneto's X-Men, where Magneto's running the X-Men, and it's in the Ultimate universe, and it's actually in the various universes Wolverine's had adopted children, things like that, but this is his actual son. This is James Hudson Jr. Which he's Wolverine, but he's a blonde Wolverine, so he could, to the to the people who weren't necessarily sure what they're looking at could think that, oh, Sabretooth. That's, you know, yeah, it's Sabretooth. But no, this is his legitimate son who was left with an Iraqi war veteran and raises his child, but comes in and winds up joining up in a similar way that the original Wolverine was exposed to the, or was shown in the comics, where he was shown hunting a mythical creature, kind of like a werewolf, also a Wendigo. Enter James Hudson Jr., aka the new Wolverine. He's hunting the same mythical beast.
This reminds me of Batman Beyond.
Yeah. So for this, what medium are we going to be seeing this James Hudson Jr. in? Like, what medium have they committed to put him in?
They have committed to animated film and to comics, but this is the new canon. And whereas there is in various other stories, the new Wolverine was right. X-23, the film could see both show up, where it would be like an older, the rumor now is that in film that you'll see a older brother, little sister, kind of thing going on with the film, which I actually kind of feel like that would be taken away from that 12-year-old actress's acting chops, because goddamn what she did in the film.
Yeah, this Brennan. Is a disappointment if they do that. They set X-23 up to replace Wolverine, in my opinion, and I think they should leave it that way rather than, at least in the, you know, movie cinematic live action. So if they bring in the other actor like that for the kid, I think it's going to...
Well.
It'll hurt my
feelings. Well, one of the main issues with X-23 and with the way they set it up in the cinematic one for how movies are presented to us currently is that she doesn't speak English. So she would have to learn English or have a kind of a limited amount of dialogue that she had in the first one, so it doesn't lead a lot to or leave her a lot of acting chops to do scenes with. And does leave it open for another character to come in there as a Wolverine style to pair off with her, at least in a bridge movie, till they can make her character confidently be able to speak English, or if they spin that off really fast, hey, this is a really good teacher mutant right here and can teach language as her mutant power instantaneously. And X-23 can now talk English, and we are done here. Magic mutant powers, and let's go. That's
I can see clearly now.
This feels to me like a very convenient reboot on the Marvel side for the comic version in order to set up the movie version. So we know that he's getting older. We know that we need to reboot it. So we're not going to say that we're doing it for that. We're going to say that we're doing it for the comic version. But if it just happens to work into
everything
this, oh, it's really convenient when we start it up. So it feels very convenient. I don't mind it, honestly. Like, if this is how you're going to go about it, you're going to restart it in both areas, that's great, because it makes it actually combine both. So we're not splitting the way the character's going. But man, just go and say it. Just be like, all right, this is how we're going to reboot him, and we'll call it a day.
There's already been fan images of various actors with the blonde chops and the blonde hair going out there.
Yeah, but Brandon, you can't really take any of that into effect. I mean, look how many people were look like Cable.
Yeah, yeah. Do it for Cable.
Art.
It is, but it was just kind of cool looking to see some of them.
Are any of them Johnny from The Karate Kid? Because it looks like Johnny from The Karate Kid. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
For a friend.
For a friend, right? Yeah.
For a friend. So I think we've come to the end of our hype train.
I think Chris has one more with reading. We've actually been moving something in our notes down and down and down, highlighting it to put it in front of his next topic, but he keeps skipping over it.
Oh, Christ, it's because it's not that important. But move on. Go ahead. Talk about it.
How is this not important?
It's actually...
This right here is going to kill GameStop.
It is.
As if it's not dead with the 130 stores that they've lost already.
I mean, this is the final nail in the coffin. So what we're going to be talking about is Microsoft is going to be offering the self-service refunds for any Xbox One and Windows games. And there is certain restrictions, kind of like Steam, with 2 hours played or 14 days, if I remember reading it correctly. But, I mean, if you play a game for an hour and a half, you're just like, what the hell did I buy? You can get a refund.
Seriously. All right. I was just ragging on this, but this would have been my hour into Mass Effect Andromeda. I'd have been like, what the f*** did I buy? And I would have...
Uh-huh. No Man's Sky on Steam.
Yep, exactly. Click the button.
I'd have been done. Done. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, that's actually pretty sweet because, like, you can play for something and go, you know what, this is not my cup of tea. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I'm out. Right. Yeah, no, that's huge.
How many people would have been returning For Honor?
For Honor did it to themselves and me. Like, I mean, hey, free beta right before. You don't even have to buy our game. Here, just do this free open beta. Like, sweet.
Smell the poo. Yeah. Smell it.
I logged in. I played it for about 30 minutes and said all the notes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You got to get a kind of big whiff of this, of that scent, and you're like, nope, I'm mm-hmm. done.
Smash the note button.
Yeah, some of the pre-playing is effective and some of it isn't. Games like Prey that are about to come out for Bethesda is a huge deal. Like, it's coming out at a weird time. It's coming out in the middle of May. Tons of hype about it through Bethesda, but not in the gaming community. So to give people an hour, which are going to give an hour demo for folks, is a big deal. Like, that kind of promotes the game, where it's like, okay, get a taste of it, and then if you really like it, this will actually convince you to purchase. As opposed to the diehards who are already going to get it anyway. They used to do this on 360, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 360 used to do this. Xbox used to give you demos, used to be able to play a game for about an hour or so.
There used to be demos all the time.
So creatively, some games that feel like the hype level isn't high enough, will give which Prey is doing right now, they're thinking, well, hell, this game's pretty good, but a lot of people think it's coming out in September, not May, because they're not promoting it enough that they can, you know what I mean, they don't have enough hype level on it. So I think it works for some games. It doesn't work for other games. If you have an opportunity to play a game for free, man, for an hour, give it a shot, give it a crack. And if you have a chance to play on Xbox and you know you're going to get your money back because the game is poo, I would do that too.
Okay, now here's the thing for asking you and Brandon. Do you think that now that Xbox has stated this is going to be coming in the future, do you think at Sony's press conference at D3, do you think that they're going to announce the same thing?
They want their money. They don't give a shit.
This is Sony. Yeah, Affigul.
Affigul.
They just flip that chin up and go, you know what, listen, we've got 20 to 25 million on you. Doesn't matter. And we also have exclusives, which you know nothing about. So, I don't think Sony's going to do anything. I don't think they care.
Not at all.
If I was Sony, I wouldn't care. If you're up that much, scoreboard. You're up a quarter of it. You're up more than a quarter on their highest tier.
But one thing they would need to consider is that Xbox is making ground. So, in order to keep that competitive advantage for new system buyers, that they need to consider anything that could, any differentiating factor that would make somebody pick an Xbox One over a Sony. So if enough of their marketing comes out and says, hey, a lot of people actually care about this, then that could drive it. But yeah, as of right now, I don't know if that's enough of a deciding factor for somebody to pick one system over the other.
One of the big things with Sony that they got is they got, I mean, because you still got the sheeple that buy Call of Duty every year. They can't pull that teat out of their mouth. They are continually going in. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if they don't like it. They still buy it because it's Call of Duty. But they're you know, Sony's got that thing that Xbox used to have, which I don't know what happened with Activision and Xbox that got a lot of that exclusivity stuff pulled away. I wish I did, but it's one of those things where it's that Sony's got that, and you know, more power to Sony for that. Chris,
I think it's time to head to This Week in Geek.
Yeah.
hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
So this week in Geek, we talk about things from the past, and we try to bring it up to the future. So we'll start with something that happened on April 13th, 2000. This heavy metal group, Metallica, sued Napster, alleging copyright infringement and racketeering. They use the word racketeering. That sounds like an old school, like 1950s gangster term.
Napster, bad. Metallica, good.
Those videos were fantastic.
This lawsuit later joined by Dr. Dre, probably after The Chronic, as well as lawsuits from the RIAA, eventually caused the original Napster service to shut down and file bankruptcy. However, Pandora's box that Napster opened up could not be closed, and the digital distribution changed the music industry forever. Hashtag Apple Music.
Yeah, so
I gotta say something. I used to download like crazy off of Napster. And like, you remember back when they did, it was a Super Bowl commercial, and a couple of the kids that got hit with that stuff, they went and like, they paid all their, because it was like, what, a couple million that they were charging, or it was like 300,000 for one person and all these other bills. And then Pepsi's all like, oh, we paid for it, but now go on to Napster, the new service, open up the bottle and get a free song.
Yeah.
When you say download like crazy, do you mean like download two songs that took 12 hours?
No, you just start all the downloads. No. You go to work or school, and then you come back. Yeah,
and then back, and then
I was downloading them at school.
Yeah, and then after all of that, see, this was like right during my college time. So after all this was said and done, and I got a job, I was way didn't care about pirate anymore. Like there's way too many legal things I can get myself into. I'll just spend the extra money and not steal music and movies and just make sure that I don't have the FBI somehow picking me out of the crowd, knocking on my door. I'm just gonna buy the stuff. So, yeah.
I was still in high school, and we would download them in our English class. We had like a whole row of computers, man. And we would just like have five or six of them with LimeWire and Kazaa and all that other crap that we used to use back then.
Kazaa.
You're bringing up LimeWire? LimeWire? Yep. Oh, man.
And we would just download Napster songs and then just transfer them and burn CDs in class and everything else. Teacher didn't care. It was awesome.
Hashtag Fouts makes mixtapes.
Yeah. So on April 13th, 1970, an oxygen tank aboard the service module of Apollo 13 explodes. Moments later, astronaut Jack Swigert announced the later famous phrase, "Houston, we have a problem here." The explosion cripples the spacecraft, resulting in a near-complete loss of electricity and oxygen. So not only was this monumentous event turned into a great movie, I think I got all the words right this time, which is the first time in This Week in Geek that I've been so tired I've messed up in a while. And actually, we studied this in one of my later engineering classes because my professor for that particular class worked at NASA at the time. So he was actually part of the team that investigated this incident. So we actually went through like kind of how they did it in the notes of the – he wasn't part of the team that fixed it mid-flight, but he was part of the post-investigation on why it happened. So we actually investigated how this tank exploded and happened and how they went about investigating it too and fixing it in the future. So that was pretty interesting because the movie was very prevalent at the time. So that was pretty interesting to learn.
April 12th, 1981, a good year, the year I was born. NASA launches the first space shuttle mission, STS-1, sending the Columbia on its maiden voyage. This mission intended to prove the feasibility of space shuttles in specific and reusable spacecraft in general. Originally set to launch on April 10th, problems delayed the launch by 2 days, which caused the launch to occur exactly 20 years after Yuri Gagarin became the first man to fly into space.
Yeah, and now reusable aircraft is the hottest thing in private spaceflight right now with the companies like SpaceX and others just trying to be the top tier third party company for two things: getting satellites in space and taking care of the other ones that are up there, and interspace travel. getting halfway around the world a hell of a lot faster by flying up into the stratosphere. So we're gonna be able to see that in our lifetime. I guarantee it. I just want to be able to fly halfway around the world real fast. I want to be able to do that before I die.
So on Geekologist Radio, sometimes we bring the past into the future, and sometimes we bring the future into the past. So listening to this episode, you may be hearing us talk about Star Wars. You may be hearing us talk about a Star Wars trailer prior to listening to this episode, or vice versa. Just know that we're always trying to be ahead of the game, and we're always trying to be on top of things that are important to not only to us, but we feel like to our audience. And if there's something that you feel like that we haven't been attentive to and you would like us to be attentive to, please let us know, because we're always game for new and exciting things. Damien, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Damien Nash, all one word, manning the Late Night Geekologist Radio Twitter, minus the T for character restrictions. You can find articles of mine on multiple locations. You can find it on geekologistradio.com, queuedupmedia.com, and rectifygaming.com.
Brandon, where can people find you at?
You can find me all over the place. On Twitter, it's at @BE_FOUTZ. Started streaming again on Beam. Same username, I believe. No, it's beam.pro/beefouts82.
Just throw beef outs and
he listens to great music.
Except for Twitter. It's BE_FOUTZ.
Mm. Oh, for character restrictions.
No, because, yeah.
Just everything's just, always character restrictions.
Or because
Adrian, 82. People find you at. Or
maybe, I don't know. But you could.
Oh,
it's not a year. Very short amount of time, you could find me in bed, because I've had a considerably long last 4 hours. And no, don't get too excited about what I just said. And then you can also find me on Twitter at Caucasian Saint, CaucasianSaint on Twitter. And then, Mr. Chris, where can we find you?
Two Wolves, TWOWOLVZZ on Twitter, Facebook, pretty much anywhere you can think of. Like I said, we're going to be having some more episodes out aside from this as things come about. And for Geekologist Radio and this extended episode 34, we are meowt.